Thank you for joining us on the Entrepreneur Dad podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs, high-level executives, and overall just people that are working their butt off to make a great living for themselves. In this, what we do is we examine their journey, their ups, their downs, their transitions, and also how to remain great spouses and loving parents while managing a full daily schedule. Thank you so much, and I hope you get tons of value out of your time with us.
Kind of transition a little bit. So growing up, you were into sports.
Yeah.
Talk about your love of sports and how that how it kind of played into what you're doing now.
You know, growing up, we're part of that era where we played outside. It wasn't about...
Exactly. Both the same age.
Yeah. It wasn't outside, about like...
No screens.
Yeah, no screens. It was just play outside till dark, till dinner time. And that was it. And I really didn't have this sort of experience of organized sports. Vietnamese is just not like that, right?
I guess not.
And by the time I got, it wasn't part of the Vietnamese culture. Right. I mean, by the time that I really said, hey, all my buddies are going to play sports and what's this team ball about? And I remember I tried baseball for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 12 playing against kids who had been playing since they were
five.
Yeah. And the skill set was like... No. So I was a great bunter and a stealing first, and I could steal bases.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I was horrible at baseball. I was too short for basketball. Mm-hmm. I was too small for football. And then I got bullied. And so I think a lot of kids get bullied.
Did you get bullied because you were Vietnamese?
You know, that was...
or just different.
I was probably just different. I wouldn't say it was just simply because I was Vietnamese, but I was different. And then I think another thing that made the bullying hard was... Vietnamese kids really hung out with other Vietnamese kids.
For sure.
Whereas I had white friends, black friends, Hispanic friends all over. And in a way, I was kind of pushed away by Vietnamese kids. Because by then, my parents were entrepreneurs. And, we had been in the States for 10 plus years now. And,
gotcha.
And their parents had just come over to the States.
Started school in the States.
Like, yeah.
You went to kindergarten first grade?
I went to kindergarten not knowing English.
Wow.
Think about that. No, I went to kindergarten. My dad drops me off. I go in and I'm like, see ya. And I turn around and all I hear is, wah, 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 wah.
Just like the peanut show.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I remember I wanted to learn how to lift weights, and I remember I was 14 years old, and my parents had a small business that was just two blocks from my middle school and my elementary school.
So your mom's a seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your dad doing at the time?
So by this time they had owned a restaurant owner.
Okay.
Yep. And then my dad started to purchase real estate.
Okay.
And then manage those. So basically, he'd rent out houses.
Just hustling, man. I love it.
And all sorts of things. They at one time, they owned a laundromat.
Wow.
They owned a convenience store at one time. I mean, it was just like a whole bunch of things, just hustling. But my elementary, which at that time was Azalea Middle School, right off Azalea Road.
Yeah.
It's now Denton now. It was like right next to Davidson High School. They're across the street from each other.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. They share the same parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, middle school, high school. And my parents' business was just on Azalea. It was walking distance. So after school, I'd walk over to help them own business. And it got to the point where I wanted to, get tired of being bullied. And I was always a small kid. And I wanted to learn how to lift weights. And I remember I walked this way, which was about, as the crows fly, probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles. I'd walk over there, and I went to a place called Riviera Fitness Center.
That's so funny.
And I opened up the door, and it was just a big box gym.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, hey, I want to, learn about a membership. You guys have memberships here, and they sold me on a membership. And this guy, I'll never forget him. His name's Cooper, Austrian guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Cooper at the time was late 40s, early 50s.
Okay.
Had a mustache. He'd call me kid. Come here, kid.
You know what I mean?
I'm 14. And Cooper worked there as a salesman. But Cooper's like, what are you doing today? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, I tell you what, you come with me, I'll show you these machines. I want you to do three reps of this, three sets of this, three sets of this. And at the end of it, I would do it. And at the end of my workout, I would run to Cooper's office and say, thanks, Cooper, I'll see you tomorrow. And he was like, all right, kid, you keep it up. And every day I would come and check in on Cooper. And Cooper would be in his office. I remember he smelled like cigarettes.
In a tobacco. Gym.
Yeah. He was always sitting back. Hey, kid, you're back. And I was like, he'd get up. He's like, come on, I'll show you something else. This is called a bench press. You know, this is how you do this. And he would spend probably 5-10 minutes with me. I didn't pay him a dime. I didn't know. I just thought that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
But I learned later that he was just being nice to me. Yeah. He was just my first trainer teaching me, right? And I just gobbled it up. And it got to the point eventually where I just kind of knew what to do. And the summer went and the next year went and I was still coming. And it was just stopping by to say hey to Coop just to kind of catch up on his life. But yeah, he was Austrian. Yeah, just old That's school awesome. Austrian, old school power man lifter guy, you know, big muscles, and I just looked up to Coop. Didn't do tobacco though.
Nice.
And so
what a smoke.
Yeah. And then so that was my love for the barbell and just for gym.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, the next summer or something like that, again all my friends were playing college or summer ball and all this stuff. So I was like, what am I going to do with my summer?
Right.
And I enlisted myself into a martial arts class.
Cool.
And I did a summer martial arts class. And then at the end of the class, the instructor pulled me aside and said, hey, you should really consider taking your training somewhere else. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, my son trains with a guy. And I think you'd really like him. And I think he'd take on another kid. My son's a year older than you.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm thinking. I'm 15. Her son's 16. I'd meet up, and it was awesome. I mean, our coach was Xian Lu. He was a 33rd generation monk from mainland China. He was on the men's gymnastics team and coached for their gymnastics team. He was an undefeated kickboxer from China.
Wow.
He was in the States in Mobile, Alabama, getting his master's in exercise science.
So what kind of gym was this?
This was not a gym. This, where he trained us, was outside on the campus of the University of Mobile College.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are y'all doing? Like, is it... You know, Taekwondo?
I mean, Kung Fu. Wushu Kung Fu, right?
Wow. So, old school Bruce Lee stuff.
Old school Bruce Lee stuff, right? Yeah.
Sweet.
And it was like 15, 16-year-olds learning how to kick and learning how to punch, which turned into forms. I think karate calls them katas, right? Turns into forms and then turn into form competitions, which turn into weapons competitions, which turn into little light contact fighting, which turned into full contact fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you start, and I just was, that was sort of my first coach.
Right.
Which is where I learned how to count in Chinese, 1 through 10.
Like we were talking about earlier.
Because he would say 1, 2 in Chinese,
in Mandarin.
Yeah, it was like, san, su. And he would count to 10, and then he would count over. Yeah. So it was just the 10, and we would just be every day. The guy didn't want a dime.
Wow.
He just loved coaching.
Yeah.
And I loved being coached. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just
sure.
one of those things where, in a way, like, my parents showed love by way of providing.
Mm-hmm.
The little that they had,
they
would just work their tails off and hustle.
Yeah.
And then work, and they'd come home at 9, close up their restaurant and shop at 9. So our dinners were 9:30, 10 p.m.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the way it was.
Our neighbor eats at 4:45. I got four kids reading. Come on in and eat.
Yeah. Which then spawned from my love of cooking. Because I got to an age where I said, you know what? We're hungry at 6, 7, 8 o'clock, like normal hours. And now by this time, I got two younger sisters. Mm. And it was like, well, we're going to, you know, we don't get home till 9:30.
Yeah.
So why don't you, you know, cook something for your sisters.
Fit for yourself.
Feed your sisters. And it was takeout, which became... frozen pizza, which became, you know, I want to cook something.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember my first meal I cooked was Hamburger Helper.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
I can
follow directions.
I had tons of that growing
Hamburger
up.
Helper
yeah,
it up.
Sure. Easy.
Feed the sisters.
Yeah.
They loved it. I was like, yes.
I'm a cook.
Started learning, and then I made spaghetti for the first time.
Yeah.
And then, so just my love for the food grew from that, and just watching mom and...
So you're into weightlifting.
Yeah.
I say weightlifting, just lifting weights.
Sure.
Because when you hear weightlifting these days, you think of Olympic stuff. So you're into lifting weights from the Austrian. Was it Austrian? Is that what you said? From the
Austrian. The Austrian
smoker. And then you meet the guy that's into Kung Fu.
Yep.
And so that's kind of the world you live in.
Martial arts.
Yeah. So transition from high school, where'd you go from there?
So for high school... again, team sports was too late for me.
For sure.
Just continue with the arts, continue with martial arts,
okay.
And then started competing on a national level. And then college came, and I was like, man, I want to do this full time. And then got injured in practice and the competition. I was like, okay, I'm not bulletproof. I need to go to school. Went to school and went into sports medicine down in South Alabama. Got into the athletic training program.
Okay.
But that really was an awesome program. It exposed us to the strength and conditioning side for your healthy athletes. And then it got us to go into the therapy side for the injured athletes.
That's where
so you got to see both sides of it. And those two are often a colliding world. But
so in some ways they can be.
Yeah, in some ways they can be, right? And so you like, okay, this is really neat, and I have appreciation for both sides of the therapy and the and the strength and conditioning. So
you're into that. So talk about moving to Birmingham.
Yeah.
So how did your transition from Bennett USA or South Alabama, excuse me, to come to Birmingham? What happened there?
Yeah. So I just wanted to get out of Mobile.
Yeah.
It was time. I wanted just different opportunity. And it was so weird because in our culture, that's not what you do.
No, for sure.
You don't do
super
that.
Super family oriented.
Yeah, super family oriented. You actually, you stay there and you do life there, and then you take your parents in. That's kind of the culture there. But for me to branch off and away, I was like, it was a big step. in the athletic training program, anytime we'd have an injured scenario, we performed lots of modalities for people. Yeah. We would do electrical stimulation. Mm-hmm. We would do hydrotherapy baths. We would tape. We would, you know, do sports massage. We would do all these things to help heal injuries better. And I just remember the day one of my athletes came in, a track athlete, knots all up and down the hamstring. And our head ATC was like, hey, put some gloves on, put on this Biofreeze stuff, and try to break up those knots. I was like, I don't know what to do. And yeah. I was just kind of like, you know, do I press harder?
There was no Google at this time.
No.
No YouTube. No Google.
No. So I was like, do I press harder? What's going on? Yeah. And I was like, what's this? They bounced back from it quicker than the other stuff that we were doing. And I'm like, this is really soft tissue manipulation. Right. And I wanted to look into more about sports massage.
Okay.
I was like, do I stay and be an ATC, an athletic trainer, or do I, you know, go into something else? And how cool would that be to be a sports massage therapist? And then I started researching, found massage school in Birmingham, found that you had to go through the whole thing, right? And in one of the things that you can specialize in sports massage, because you could do neuromuscular therapy, you could do shiatsu, you could do a Swedish massage, more, you know, fluff and buff is what I call that, right?
Sure.
More
now, spa. How much, are you done with school at this time?
So I graduate.
Okay.
Then I move up to Birmingham. I enlist in massage school, which is another year. And I remember when I first moved, September 11, 9/11 hits. So that was 2001, right?
Yeah.
And go through school, and then after that, it was just no one was really hiring. And I remember just selling my mountain bike to make rent, you know, things like that. Yeah. And I was
working 22-ish,
23-ish. Yeah, man, working three jobs, bartending.
Yeah.
At Tony Roma's off of Lakeshore.
I remember that place?
I used
to eat there when I was in college. Yeah.
Bartended there, worked at a carpet factory at night, and went to massage therapy school. And it was one of those things where, let's figure it out. So I was like looking in the paper, and it said hire. I saw an ad said hiring personal trainer. I go in, and I'm hired right away. And I didn't know what I was doing as a personal trainer. I knew a lot about
the body, right? But that's huge, though. You knew about the body.
And I think that gave me a leg up. I knew about the body, and I knew about working with collegiate athletes, but I didn't know that it was totally different from working with the general population.
Night and day.
And kind of just cut my teeth there. Started working at a personal training place in Mountain Brook. Several months later, I'd say 8 or 9 months later, one of my clients...
what was the place in Mountain Brook called?
Fitness Together.
Yeah, okay.
Right behind English. It was in Mountain Brook Village.
Yep. Gotcha.
Fitness Together. And it was a franchise.
Yeah.
And a turnkey model. And then one of my clients said, hey, you should do your own place, you know, and I'll back you.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I'm 24 years old. And I own a business. And I opened my Fitness Together in Vestavia.
At 24.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know a lick about business.
Yeah.
And... you know, there's tons of content out there for you to learn how to teach a deadlift, how to teach a pull-up, but no, like, business side of it was just, I had to figure it out.
And that's what happens a lot of times. Yeah. A lot of these gyms and things like that fail is simply because, man, I love the body, I love helping people, I love all this, but you got to manage rent, you got to pay your taxes, you got to have a business license.
Yeah.
It's just like, for everything that you love and know, there's probably double that you've got to know that you don't want to know.
That you don't want to know.
You don't want to freaking learn this stuff.
And so you've probably, I know you've heard the book, The E-Myth.
Yeah.
And so The E-Myth just like exposes all that for you, right?
Yeah.
And you dig into that book and you're like, man, I'm just a technician. I got to really learn how to manage this thing. But next thing you know, 7 years go by. I have two locations. And then I'm asked to come on board of a new brand.
So you're at Fitness Together for 7 years?
Yeah.
And so you own two different Fitness Togethers?
Yeah. Vestavia, and then I ended up acquiring the Mount Laurel location.
So you've got two different Fitness Togethers. You're, 24, I guess that's 31 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
So you're still young. So let me ask you a question. So how much did the entrepreneurial, honestly, breeding have to do with your desire to do that? Because you were, bartending and working in a carpet factory and selling your mountain bike to make rent.
Yeah.
But then at 24, you get a chance for 7 years. So how much of that upbringing was huge in you wanting to own your own business?
I mean,
that's what your parents did.
That's it. I broke my parents' heart my sophomore year in college. I crushed them. And I crushed them because I came home and said, Mom, I'm not going to be the doctor you want me to be.
Mm. Why did they want you to be a doctor?
Because in our country, like, you've made it if you are a doctor, a lawyer, a successful businessman. There's not athletic trainers in Vietnam. There's not high school teams and sports teams and all this stuff. It's just like there's no middle class. You're either here or you're here.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
And so they felt it as, we came to America to give you an opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Like, you are the big brother to your younger sisters. Lead them. Guide them.
Right.
Take advantages. And it was like, I don't want to. And then it became, well, why would you not? Do you think you can't?
Yeah.
Why would you do anything else? That's like the pinnacle. And I was like, I get that. And I think for some people, being that is, that's what they want. For me, I wanted something different. For me, I've always craved that relationship side of things, and I enjoyed checking in more often.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was a very tough struggle between, especially like my mom and I.
Right.
It was okay, do your own thing. And then if the business was struggling, she was like, you ready to be a doctor yet?
Wow.
You ready to sell that yet? Wow. And it was almost like a, all right, but you're going to fail eventually and go back to school. But, and so I was really determined. Trying to be successful, and I used to chase the wrong things. I used to chase these materialistic things so that I could earn their blessing.
Yep.
And think that, my son's now made it. Mm-hmm. Because he owns this car or these cars and this business and whatnot,
right.
And trying to get approval from the wrong father.
Right.
It was just the cultural differences, and looking back, and I remember just as a young man struggling with that, and really kind of turning hard on my parents, and just like, why don't you love me the way that I want to be loved, and the way that I see my friends' parents being loving them, and it's just different, It's just
the business aspect of that is interesting. 100%. So, how did you? Because you said before you worked in your parents' business, you saw your parents do this, you saw your parents do that. And as far as the business is concerned, but you hadn't had any business training. You'd been athletic trainer, you were at massage therapy school. So, how did you figure out? Because you were obviously doing something right, because you had run a business for 7 years and had two locations. How did you learn? Because this is a question I get asked a lot of times, and I imagine you do too.
Okay.
How did you learn how to run a business? Because you took a passion, you took something that you like, the weightlifting, the teaching people, and the coaching people in fitness, How did you figure out how to run the business successfully?
You know, this is a word that gets thrown out there a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And we even heard it today in this conversation, the word hustle.
Yeah.
I had that in my back pocket.
Absolutely. It's hereditary.
I had hustle, right? Yeah. I had hustle. I had parents who worked from sun up and they get home at 9:30. And that was their day. That was their rig. And so I wasn't afraid of that. I grew up with that. Right. And I think that hustle allowed me to have more time in my day to figure out, make the mistakes that I did, and still go, you know what, I give up. It's 5 p.m., I give up. And it was like, no, just because it's 5 p.m., you're not going to give up. You got to work until you figure this out.
Yeah.
And whether that meant to work till midnight or whatever. That, I mean, it was just a big part of it, I think.
Yeah.
I made so many mistakes, and I'm still making mistakes right? But I look back and I wish that I had, and that's why I started my consulting, because I wish that I had the mentor in business.
Right.
And I wanted to be that as a consultant in the fitness industry for the young greenhorn trainer who's fresh out of it and has no idea what they're about to get hit with in the fitness industry, because it's a dog-eat-dog world. Yeah. And especially now with social media, it's changed. Mm-hmm. But I just had that, it's not time to give up yet. It's not time to quit yet. And that really helped me out a lot.
Wow. So 5 questions that I always ask everybody that comes on here, and you don't know these questions, do you?
No.
So, I love that. Okay.
You're just telling me the questions.
No, you're going to answer these questions.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Like, this was it. This
these
is
are
it.
The questions.
This is
like, it. We're filming. You're going to answer these questions now. So, I love the fact that you don't know the questions. So,
am I supposed to?
No, you're not. You're not. Okay. So, in what we're doing with this series of interviews and just talks and things like that, I love hearing the intricacies of people's lives, not like, hey, my gym does this, and this is who we reach, and all that stuff. But like, the things that you do daily, because it's not the big things that we do in life that create who we are.
Yeah,
it's the little things that we do, the little habits that we have, the little rituals and routines that we have throughout every day that create us who we are.
Okay.
And so these questions have to do with that. So the first question is, what does your morning routine look like?
Okay. So right now, my morning routine is kind of all over the place. I still get to coach 3 days a week.
Good.
And it's so important to me and such a big day. So those days, it's honestly, my wife and I wake up at the same time, right? Alarm goes off 4:45.
Okay.
She'll stay and leave a little after I will, but I'm out the door.
Okay.
So my routine, I'm out the door, I get to the gym, I attend to the 2 classes, and then after that, it's 7:30. Then I start getting into a routine, if that makes sense. So and that's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Okay.
So on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, back-to-back days, although I've been awake for several hours, I don't really kind of get into my routine until 3 hours later.
Until the classes end.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you want to talk about the routine of the classes, that's totally different, but I don't think that's the question you're looking for.
No, question is like, so on those other days, but then also kind of getting your day going.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you?
So on the other days, and to get my days going, it's always, I've never been a guy that needed a lot of me time in the mornings. I know for some people, a big part of the routine is quiet time. Maybe it's prayer time. Maybe it's,
I gotta have me time.
Yeah, me time.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, I'm energized by us time.
People, yeah.
So I kind of get to people pretty quick.
That's good.
And just knowing that, that's my morning routine. So I'll get whatever it is. If it's a day that I'm sleeping in a little bit and I don't go to the gym till a little later, I'll spend time. I always make the same omelet.
So the next question is, what does the day of eating look like for you?
So right now, on the days that I do get to spend some time and make my, it's always the same omelet. I'm an omelet guy.
Yeah.
We'll have some fresh fruit in the morning with it and coffee. So it's an omelet, coffee, get my veggies in, and get that going.
What about the rest of the day?
Starts my day. The rest of the day, so you got to know that right now, my wife and I are in the middle of our own home renovation.
And
we have a deadline because little baby's on the way.
Yes.
And it's so funny because we bought this house lived in it for a few months and said, okay, we're gonna save up money and make plans to do this renovation. Mm-hmm. We'll start the renovation. We know it'll take several months, and then come springtime, we'll start planning for trying to have a baby.
Right.
We knocked down all the walls to our home. I mean, it's down to studs.
Wow.
We start taking a staircase that's in the middle of it and moving it to the other side of the house. And the ceiling are now vaulted. Studs, right?
Yeah.
Wires hanging out everywhere. So after about 2 weeks of demo, my wife says, when do you think we're going to get done with this house? I said, you know, probably April, May, June, something like that. She goes, okay, good, because, you know, you're going to be a father. I said, yeah, I know. That's the plan. I said, yeah, no, that's the plan, babe. We talked about that. We're going to finish the house. We're going to start being fathers. She goes, no, you're going to be a father in May, June. I said, what?
Holy crap.
So now we had a deadline.
Yeah.
So now it's
probably the best thing for you.
Hard deadline. You're right. Because
it could have drug on.
It could have drug on. And there are times that it felt like it did. We lived in the basement for several months. We had no kitchen for 7 months. So eating was very tough.
Yeah.
We are meal planners and preppers.
Yeah, for sure.
We spent our Sunday doing that.
You got two gyms.
Yeah, we got two gyms. Yeah. That's our family time. It's a Costco visit.
Yeah.
It's like you take in some church, you go to Costco, you come home, you meal prep.
Right.
And we both enjoy it. I get to flip the grill on.
Yeah.
She's baking, we're cooking, and she will map out. She's so organized in this way where she'll map out our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our Tupperwares are different colors. Mine are red. Hers are green.
Whoa.
So, and these are your lunches, your breakfasts, and your dinners, and these are your 5 days.
This That's
is your macronutrient balanced out. And then she'll make us the casein pudding at night for dessert. So that is our regular, to answer your question. But
wow.
With this home renovation, and we are the GCs on it, and we work on it every night, a lot of times we're just scrambling.
Yeah.
We're scrambling to do what we can.
So that's just normal, but then, so let's just
go to season.
Yeah, so you own two gyms, and we haven't even talked about that. So you own two gyms, you're doing a full renovation, not like flipping the bathroom. Like, we're talking about the whole house, down to the studs, and then also, by the way, you've got a baby coming in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
So you got a lot going on.
Yes,
sir. This has no transition at all, but I'm going to ask anyway. So part of being a business owner, we already kind of talked about this a little bit, talking about reading. So what is your favorite book of all time?
Oh, gosh. So the book that I would say that I really got into, and I think it might be a cliche answer, but probably Lone Survivor.
It's a great book.
I mean, I love that book.
It's a great book. So my Lone Survivor is awesome. It's awesome. So my Lone Survivor story is,
so
we're sitting there. I'm recruiting. I'm coaching at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
And I go into North Whitfield High School
in
North Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And this coach LaFleur comes in. He goes, hey, you need to read this book. And he throws this book over to me. I said, really? He goes, he said, I'm not a reader.
Right.
Big country
right.
football coach guy. He goes, I'm not a reader. He said, but I couldn't put this book down.
There you go.
It was incredible.
There you
and
go.
So I did. It's a 300 or 400 page book. It's
yeah.
a gigantic book.
Yeah.
And so I ordered it and read it, and it was captivating.
Yeah. If I'm going to read a book twice,
yeah,
it's captivating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it was just that was just the thing. And I know there was a lot of other people who had like turned me on that book. And,
yeah.
You know, and I was like, man, I can't put this down.
It was so good. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. So, but to kind of give a second, I guess part B answer. Recently, I read Shoe Dog.
Phil Knight.
That was such a good book.
It is a good book.
It's
a fascinating story.
Yeah, it is.
Like traveling back and forth and just.
And what it told me is. From an entrepreneur who owns one of the biggest companies in the world, and it showed all the struggles that they went through.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, okay, so my daily struggles and their, you know what I mean? So it kind of put things in perspective, and it didn't make me feel so bad about my day.
You read about all these people, and you look at our lives and your life, and you go, but you have to be a different breed to own your own business, especially if it's like a deal with, did you start? Franchising is very, very hard. If you go buy, even if you go buy a franchise, whether it be a restaurant or a cleaners or a painting
that's
franchise,
right.
But like starting your own deal, I mean, that's hard. And like you said, like Phil talks about that in his book. And I mean, obviously I know your story and our story. It's just the thing that you said earlier that I thought was very, very good that I think that all people that want to own their own business, all entrepreneurs need to know is that you failed, but you failed often and you kept failing. To, and that led you to figure out what you needed to do in order to make, at the time, Fitness Together survive.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
About that, not only did I fail a lot, but I had to learn that it was okay to fail.
Absolutely.
I struggled with that, Thomas, so much, because when I told my father that I had failed, you got to understand, so the culture that I grew up in, I remember it was, hey, Dad, here's my report card.
Yeah.
And he would go, why is there 5 A's and 1 B? What's this B about? Mm. You see what I'm saying? It was such a different thing. And then I'd call and I'd talk to my buddy Lee, and he would say, oh, man, my parents were taking me out to celebrate because I got 2 A's, 2 B's, and 2 C's. I didn't fail anything. And I'm thinking, I'm not punished, but like, what's up?
Yeah.
And I remember when I fought national level, I came home and Dad's like, how'd you do? I said, I got second. His first response was, what happened first?
Mm.
And so it was I was afraid to show that man failure.
Yeah, for sure.
And to admit that I'm failing, to admit that I needed help. And that spawns in both my spiritual life, my relationships, my business. And now it's like, hey, we're all in the same. We're all in the same here. Like, we're here to help each other out. So, I think it's failing a lot, not giving up, hustle to figure it out. Don't give up, to keep on figuring out. But then, if you get frustrated, raise your hand and say, I need help.
Yeah.
And that is A-okay.
It is okay. Yeah. And it's hard to find people that will help you.
Yeah.
You know, and they're out there, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
So, talking about books, what are you reading right now?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait. Does this count? You're going to be a dad in 36 weeks.
Sounds good.
I got that book for Christmas.
You get a pass for the summer of your life that you're right now.
But
last question I have, and my answer changes to this question all the time. Okay, and I've asked this a bunch. If you could talk to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Man, what wouldn't I tell him? Mm-hmm. Where do I start? I mean, there's so many topics, you know, there's business topics, there's relationship topics, there's...
Most important thing. And if it's a business thing, that doesn't mean you're selfish. And if it's a family thing, that doesn't mean, you know...
I would say it's about relationships. Mm-hmm. My 20-year-old self didn't get that.
Yeah.
My 20-year-old self thought and valued who he was by what he accomplished
and
what he owned. And it's about relationships.
Yeah.
And,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good answer. So here's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Great conversation, but I like breaking it up. I like to move. So let's go outside and talk while we walk.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we're talking about the business part of all that you've done. So you were at Fitness Together and have done that for 7 years. And then you sell that.
Yeah.
You sold that. And then you started working with Forrest Walden. So you and Forrest are, in my opinion, two amazing business owners here in Birmingham.
Appreciate
it. Both have wonderful businesses, but you and Forrest worked together for a while.
Yeah.
So talk about that relationship and you working with them at Iron Tribe. Talk about, walk me kind of through that, because you did that for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, he and I worked together for 7 years with Fitness Together, and then I was with Iron Tribe for 6.
Okay.
So, I mean, I got to learn so much from Forrest.
Yeah.
He was the first person that taught me about entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And going out on your own and becoming a business owner. Now, I know that might sound strange because my parents were entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
But to me, for some reason, I never connected that dot. It was just family business.
And, for sure.
And you didn't view
your parents as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and they were never in a scenario where, they're always in a scenario, I should say, where I had suggestions for them to how you could simplify this and create this and create this.
Right.
And they never would give in and want to listen. Because that's the way they did it in Vietnam, but it wasn't the easiest way and method of practice
for
here in the U.S. But Forrest really taught me so much about entrepreneurship. He taught me so much about branding and about storytelling and about systematizing. About organization and the things that I knew I wanted my parents to have in their business, but I didn't really see that. And he was so powerful in empowering me to go off and be a business owner. So he was encouraging me to open up my own, you know, personal training studio.
Right.
Because I was working for him as one of his coaches, one of his personal trainers, and then it was, hey, you should really think about opening your own fitness together.
So you started doing your own consulting thing there after you left Iron Tribe.
Right.
So how long did you do consulting, and what kind of did that look like, for just a brief snapshot of what that looked like?
That was a solid 3 years of, you know, when I first started, I didn't know what it was going to look like.
Right.
I didn't know how long I was going to be on the road and travel what really the model was like. But I knew what I wanted to talk about, and I knew what I wanted to help and the type of people I wanted to help. And those were coaches, new to the industry, or maybe they're currently, and they're just kind of struggling in whatever it is they're struggling with. So I got to really be involved and would either drive or fly to their location and spend 3 to 7 days with them, just living the life of what their daily routine is.
So what you did is you went and helped the guy, the 25-year-old fireman that wanted to own a gym.
There you go.
That loved fitness, that
there
knew about coaching, that had a good idea about, but you helped him with the business part.
There
you go. That was what you did.
Yeah, it would be the business, it would be the product also. Because a lot of times, what was good programming in their head was good for them, but it didn't match up with their population.
Sure. And everybody's got a bias.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And so, you know, whether it was, hey, organize class better this way.
Right.
Give more value to your membership this way. Okay. Onboard your new people this way. You know, here's a better way of vetting
the
out.
Nuts
here's
and the bolts of all of it.
Little nuts and the bolts. And the things that I, again, as a young business owner, I wish that I had a mentor to talk me through those things.
For sure.
You know?
So you were consulting for a little bit. And then you decided that you wanted to kind of slow down and not travel 200 or 300 days a year.
That's right. That's right.
So you opened up your own place here. So tell me about your place in downtown.
Yeah. So the name is branched off of my consulting company. My consulting company is Wheelhouse Consulting.
Okay.
And so Wheelhouse Academy became the thing. But I wanted to be academy, the academia feel. I grew up always craving and seeking knowledge and learning, and I found that I really love teaching.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of coaching as
For
well.
Sure. Absolutely.
And teaching fitness is this very big and broad gray area where it's so much more than just, you know, having someone do a certain amount of reps and sets.
Yeah.
I think that if fitness can be a part of someone's lifestyle, I feel that if you can educate fitness to be part of someone's lifestyle, they then will absorb it so much more than just coming and doing a program that you're telling them to do. But when they absorb it, they then will learn more if you encourage them to teach it. So we really encourage that at Wheelhouse. It used to be this, hey class, only come to me if you have answers because I'm the coach.
Right.
Right? You shouldn't be talking to each other about that. I am the coach. I know best. You're going to give each other wrong information.
Yeah.
But now it's, hey, I want to teach you so that you can teach them
so
and then they can teach others.
Yeah.
And then they in return learn so much from teaching. And so that's kind of the academia feel. I've had that flight path in both school and I've had that flight path in martial arts. Meaning, I started as a white belt, and you have to know X, Y, and Z before you became a blue belt. You just can't wake up and say, I'm going to be a black belt today.
For sure.
Right? And in college, you had to be a freshman, and you had to have these amount of classes and courses and grades before you could be a sophomore.
Right.
And junior, senior, master's.
So on and so on,
And so we've incorporated this belt system in Wheelhouse. So when you start off at Wheelhouse, you are a white belt. And you only become a Wheelhouse blue belt when you've shown that you can control your own body in these patterns.
Wow.
And then once you're a blue, you can then start teaching other white belts. And then you start getting more advanced in your movement, opening up with your range of motion,
right?
And then you become a purple and a brown and a black eventually. And so when you're a purple belt, you can teach classes. You can, and when I say a class, I don't mean like a daily class. I mean, you might be really passionate about nutrition or really passionate about the deadlift. You can teach, we encourage our members to teach workshops, to invite anyone and anyone who wants to come and listen.
That's good.
You could love running, you could love whatever it is, the double under.
Right.
So you can have these workshops based around what you're passionate about, and it just spreads within our community.
What does a workout at Wheelhouse look like?
Well, we consider ourselves a strength and conditioning gym.
Okay.
So we run two
separate programs 5 days a week, every option of the hour.
Right? So you can go in. So it's not like a, because people are going to sit here watching this. So it's a CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
Not a CrossFit gym. So when a CrossFit gym, at one class, you go in, you do it. So we walk into your place, you've got, like you said, two different classes going at the same time.
That's right. Two different lanes, two different focuses, two different coaches, two different warm-ups, cool-downs, right, and workouts. One very biased towards the strength development side of things.
Okay.
So, you know, label everything under that class. We'd be all your powerlifting moves,
right,
your squat, your bench press, your deadlifts,
yeah,
all of your accessory moves, all the bodybuilding, the core,
right,
accessory work,
yeah,
and all your Olympic weightlifting moves, your snatch,
okay, so
your
strength
clean and
conditioning
jerk,
over,
yeah,
here.
And then you have conditioning on this side.
Gotcha.
And then the conditioning, well, just anything that's high heart rate, high intensity. It has a lot of the stuff that you probably see in other group class models, but we also want to incorporate things that you probably don't see, such as asymmetrical work, such as rotational work,
mm-hmm,
such as static hold work. And so that is our two separate programs. And because they run at the same time, every hour, it allows for you and I to work out, because 4:30 is our normal time slot.
Right.
But you're going left and I'm going right.
Yeah.
And we're not married to either program either.
For sure.
So I could do the strength class 3 days a week and do conditioning twice, and you can do the exact opposite. And that works out for a lot of people who have different goals, and they need,
right,
a different amount of stimulus,
yeah,
for whatever they're trying to achieve in the journey.
So one gym wasn't enough, and so you've gotten together and you've,
yeah,
got a new place in Homewood,
yeah,
Battle Republic.
That's right.
The branding is amazing. I've seen it.
Thank you.
The place is beautiful, and it's central to downtown Homewood. Tell me about what Battle, because I don't know if there's anything like that in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Is there?
I mean, we hope there. We didn't think there was.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to build.
Yeah. It looks amazing. So tell us about Battle Republic.
First off, I'll say that I can't do any of this without having a great team and support,
right,
system.
For sure.
I mean, my team at Wheelhouse is incredible.
Yeah.
The team at Battle is incredible. And then my wife and supporting us, she's incredible through it all. So just having that team, but it's just taking a vision,
yeah,
that you see and you saw a need and you got the taste, a glimpse of it. I'm just happy to be a small part of the,
right,
of both teams, really.
Yeah.
Battle was something that, you know, remember I'd hinted to my martial arts.
Yeah.
I grew up boxing, kickboxing,
yeah,
and very combative sports. There's parts of it that I really love, and there's parts of it that I know my wife would never do.
For
She's
sure.
not going to put on a mouthpiece and get punched in the face
no
and
doubt.
Trade sweat with someone.
No doubt.
But there are elements of that makes it really fun. So we wanted to take this big trend that we've been seeing happen up north.
Yeah.
We went and did some trend spotting up north, and experienced this really awesome, cool class in downtown,
cool,
Manhattan. And several different brands, too.
Yeah.
And we knew that that was very Manhattan,
yeah,
A markets, and we wanted to make it fit more towards a B market, like a Birmingham, and, you know, especially like a Homewood.
Right.
And so we put our spin to it, and it's just a, you know, the whole mantra is everyone's got to fight.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting for something.
Absolutely.
Big,
yeah,
small, whatever,
mm-hmm,
it is. So we're all in this together, in for,
yeah,
this fight. And as a community, we're a republic. So Battle Republic was just kind of came, and it just fit perfectly with what we're trying to achieve. And we wanted to give people an experience through fitness where it's more empowering than anything.
Yeah.
It's an experience. You go in, you register for a bag. There's 22 bags in the class. You register through the app. And when you go in, the instructor is on an elevated stage. It's dark, dim light. It's,
cool,
high, upbeat music.
Yeah.
The instructor has a microphone attached.
That's awesome.
And they're educating you on these punches.
Yeah.
The 1, 2, 3, 4, and the 5, and the 6. The jab, the cross, your two hooks, your two uppercuts. And so throughout the time that you're working out, it's a 3-minute round. There's 10 rounds, right? And we have lots of templates that we do to change things up, but it's a balance of body weight work,
mm-hmm,
learning combinations of punches, learning to move, slip in and out, and then there are rounds where you take your gloves off, you go grab a kettlebell, we'll do some core work, we'll do some strength aspects,
right,
and then you put your gloves back on and you finish with a freestyle round at the end. So it's just you feel really empowered.
Yeah. And it's a different way. Because a lot of people get bored with going to the gym, or they don't like CrossFit or whatever. So it's a different way to get that workout in. It's an amazing workout, and not Yeah. Be doing the same old thing.
It's technology driven. You have your option of wearing a heart rate monitor or not. You can see where you are and kind of manage where your heart rate is and what zone you're in and whatnot on the monitors. Or you can opt out and just kind of do your own thing. But people, they zone in and they zone out. And we've seen everything from people walking away just high five smiling, and then we've seen people in tears just because they're dealing with something.
Yeah.
And it's just it's been a magical culture place and experience place for them, and they get to throw some hands and release some stress. You know,
yeah.
We try to do it in as safest way as possible. So we rent out the gloves for you. Inside the gloves, you're wearing these fingerless padded gel padded gloves. Mm-hmm. In addition to that. We chose the hydro bags, these water-filled bags that are heavy enough to where when you punch it, they don't swing, but they're forgiving enough with the water to absorb the impact.
I love having that here in Birmingham because, I mean, everybody does fitness different.
And yeah, that's right.
It sounds like anybody can do it. Like we were talking about earlier.
That's right.
I know a soccer mom.
Yeah.
That's there, but there's also bigger guys. There's also ladies. I mean, it's something that everybody can do.
That's right. Everyone can do it, and whether it is your primary way of fitness or your secondary, just the way we package it up, you can do unlimited memberships or you can buy packages, which are very popular too, because you'll have people who work out other gym communities. But they could go, you know what, I've got this 10 pack, these 10 slugs of workouts that I can go on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah,
our weekends are very popular because of that over there at Battle Republic.
Lewin, thank you so much. Lewin Wynn, who owns two businesses here in Birmingham, Battle Republic and then also Wheelhouse Academy. He's an amazing business owner. He knows fitness like no one else. But more than that, he's an amazing human being. He's got an incredible story that I hope that you enjoyed. But also, he's fixing to be a dad. He's renovating a new house. He embodies everything that we like to talk about and like to advertise here on Entrepreneur Dad. So I'm so thankful that he came and shared us all of the many facets of his life and his business today. And so thank you so much, guys, for joining us. We look forward to serving you guys in the future. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had as much fun as I did in this interview. We would love to hear your input and who you would like for us to interview on the Entrepreneur Dad podcast. Also, we would love it if you would give us a review and a rating. What that does for us is it helps us so much in our business and so much with the Entrepreneur Dad podcast. If you have any suggestions or would just like to ask a question in general, please email us, thomas@theentrepreneurdad.com. That's thomas@theentrepreneurdad.com. Thank you so much. We look forward to serving you.